The master bedroom has a very French majesty about it. One might expect a scene from Beauty and the Beast to play itself out with singing household appliances and all that. A miserable little man has stood by the bedroom door, so miserable looking the words he's scratching away on a length of parchment might be his suicide note. What could be the source of the man's misery? The answer currently resides laid back on the king-size bed. A man, all man, darn handsome, with a bully's smug self-confidence. He's eating from a bowl of grapes with self-satisfied precision. His bare feet wiggle on the end of the bed as if listening to a sea shanty. His boots are strewn on the floor near the foot of the bed, caked in enough mud to grow flowers.
To my dearest mother and father. Nah. Mother, father, I write to tell you your son has done what none in Nighthaven thought possible. I have become a successful... Scratch that. A man of wealth. Yes, mother, I have finally learned how to read and write. I'm sure you've taken this letter to the town scribe to read it out loud for you all. Anywho, I'm sure you've heard by now of my heroics at Baywater. And in an hour, I will be attending the prince's engagement ball where I am to be the guest of honour. The only reason I'm writing this letter to you is to make sure you know. If you turn up looking for a handout, you'll receive none from me. Destiny has decided that you be poor and I be a very rich man who gets everything he deserves. Your son, Jerez Crinny Dunter.
The trial of Jerez Dunter for the murder of the prince. Courtroom with a view of Wish Mountain. Daytime. Rez Dunter stands at a pew with his hands shackled. His ball attire is now filthy and stained with dirt and sweat, among other compounds. He is surrounded by peasants, which look like the cast of Oliver Twist, lined along the back wall, nobility with their shiny canes and fancy coats on the first floor balcony. The whole right wall to the grand courtroom looks for a moment like a huge painting, since the huge mountain, of which only a small portion of its immense size can be seen before being lost in clouds, makes Mount Everest look like an anthill. A bird, not part of the court proceedings, flies in and is promptly shooed out by a peasant whose job appears to be to stop that from happening. The view of Wish Mountain is real. The high priest, the honorable judge, and the representative of the king, who all look like extras from a Terry Gilliam movie, are sat on a raised platform looking below.
Will the prosecutor please begin proceedings?
The prosecutor, who looks like one of America's founding fathers, stands and rises to a middle pew of his own.
Jerez Crinny Dunter stands trial for the murder of the prince. Mr. Dunter in the pretrial pleaded not guilty. Now, before we can discern the truth of the night in question, we must first decide if Jerez Dunter is a man whose word can be believed.
There is a rattle of chains as Jerez Dunter stretches idly, the crack of his spine and the relief it gives him heard by all in the court.
It is also no secret Mr. Dunter is well known in Rose Kingdom for a particular act of alleged bravery. I am of course referring to the so-called Blood Drinker incident at Baywater some 2 months past. Now, if it would please the court, I would have Mr. Dunter regale us with his experience of the Blood Drinker incident.
The three honorable judges confer among themselves. Res Dunter, seemingly completely at ease, idly wiggles a finger in his ear to satiate an itch.
Proceed.
Now, Mr. Dunter, if you please.
Now?
Now.
Well, I started my career as a bounty hunter of Accursed a few months prior to the incident. It was tough work killing the Accursed which crawled down from Wish Mountain.
Rez looks faux dramatically in the direction of the huge mountain. Romantic egg yolk-colored sunlight frames Wish Mountain like a halo. Baywater District Shantytown, daytime. Dozens of gravely ill men, women, and children lay strewn about a narrow street dense with mist.
A pestilence hung in the air. For weeks the people of Baywater lay sick and anemic.
Rez Dunter emerges from the mist. He is dressed in poor traveler's garments. Rez, seeing a sick man curled up at the foot of a closed doorway, kneels by the man. Rez carefully examines him, turning the man's pained face to one side to reveal a row of small, human-shaped bite marks.
But it wasn't the pestilence making them sick. Something was draining them of their blood.
Grand courtroom with a view of Wish Mountain.
This is the boring part of the story. I visited the mayor of Baywater, who agreed to pay me a small fortune for my services. I then saw to gathering up a posse of mostly old men to help me face the Accursed. The Accursed were rumoured at the time to reside at the abandoned dockyard.
Just to confirm, Mr. Dunter, you acted alone during your time as a bounty hunter of Accursed before the incident at Baywater.
Oh, yes.
Rez Dunter can see smug satisfaction creep across the prosecutor's face.
Please continue, Mr. Dunter.
Do you have a wall for this side? Where's the sunlight? It's in my eyes. It's in their eyes. It's in everyone's eyes. Perhaps a curtain.
Mr. Dunter, you are on trial for the murder of Prince Regulant, not hosting another of your fanciful parties. Get on with it.
Now?
Now!
Oh, you mean right now?
Yes, now!
Now?
Yes, now!
Will you both cease making a mockery of this court?
Forgive me, Your Honor. Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Mr. Dunter, cease your filibustering right now.
Proceed, Mr. Dunter. Let's not waste the day.
Myself and 24 men march towards the abandoned Baywater dockyard.
Baywater District Shoreline, dusk. As if signaling coming trouble, a seagull's cry fills the otherwise melancholy postcard-perfect vista of a calm pebbly beach. Outer entrance to storage courtyard and small boat dock, dusk. Rez Dunter and 24 old men, most over 60 years of age, stand in a tight formation around a large wooden crate. A pyrotechnist, who looks like a grizzled Geppetto, opens up the crate with a crowbar.
I was saving these for the Baywater Festival.
The pyrotechnist is all bashful smiles as the men take out three large mortar devices, several dozen fireworks, and a flare to each man. Armed, the men exchange glances of determination.
We had several retired soldiers among our ranks, including men of the sea. Most were tradesmen fighting for their families.
In one corner of the men's formation, several old men are adorned in their aged military uniforms. One of the half-dozen old fishermen is knelt polishing his rubber-powered spear gun, the spotless steel glinting in the growing dark. Storage courtyard and small boat dock, dusk. The men hurry into the courtyard. Across the way, near the far back of the courtyard, the men can see an old run-down storage hut. The hut, like a haunted cabin in a horror movie, looms before them, seemingly larger than its actual size.
The Blood Drinkers had been there a short while. Even from a distance, we could feel the evil emanating from that structure.
Dusk becomes night, the moon casting tall shadows on the wary men. The door to the storage hut ominously opens, something red spilling out, pooling in squares in the courtyard cobblestone.
Now!
Like magic, the moonlight-bathed courtyard is lit with the light of 24 flares wielded by the men like batons.
It was then we beheld the evil creatures which cursed Baywater.
Like spirits from a graveyard, 3 pale-skinned women emerge from within the old hut, each a dark angel, ethereal, lithe, and otherworldly, and with obnoxiously large breasts, big, near-gravity-defying boobs barely covered by their flowing dresses. Grand courtroom with a view of Wish Mountain continued.
How is the size of their breasts important?
I'm merely telling the events as they occurred.
There is no justification for this childishness.
Does it matter what size their breasts were?
You're the one who brought them up!
Is it the size of their breasts you're objecting to?
It's neither plausible nor believable.
Well, you know, actually, I think the size of their breasts were to do with where they stored the blood they were saving for later. You know, sort of like udders.
Enough with the childish embellishments!
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't know how to proceed.
If I may, perhaps the size of their breasts were part of their cursed nature. Evil comes in forms pleasing to the sinful man's desires.
Please, Mr. Righteous Prosecutor, Honorable High Priest, the size of the Blood Drinker's breasts aren't an embellishment, nor are they a crucial detail to my accounting of events. If you like, I could finish my accounting of events, but with the size of the accursed breast changed to avoid unnecessary distraction.
You are sworn to speak the truth. If their breasts were as big as you say, then they must remain that way.
Very well.
May we continue?
3 nods from the salient judges.
Go on.
So their breasts were exactly this big. Which is surprising when you think about the probability of all 3 having the exact same measurements.
The poor prosecutor looks like he's going to pop a blood vessel. Large storage courtyard and small boat dock, night. The fight between Jerez Dunter, the 24 old volunteers, and the 3 buxom blood drinkers is in full swing. Blood drinkers, with their inhuman strength, tear the old men apart like piñatas filled with blood instead of candy. The volunteers' blood joins the sudden torrential rainfall and the explosive shower of fireworks all around. Two old men wielding a big sizzling firework between them take hold of a blood drinker. Firework explodes, killing all 3. Half a dozen men, including Jerez Dunter, remain in the fight. The fishermen with their spear guns fire and hit one of the blood drinkers, lengths of thin rope pinning her in place. Unable to get away quickly, the blood drinker kills 4 of the 5 fishermen who succeed in setting her on fire with their flares. Jerez Dunter heroically runs ahead of the dead and dying old men who lay strewn on the rain and blood-soaked ground. last remaining blood drinker and Jerez Dunter clash amid the thunder, fireworks, blood, and rain. The epicness of the moment is undermined, or improved if you're a pervert, by the blood drinker's huge wet boobs, now exposed, jostling in the rain. Grand courtroom with a view of Wish Mountain. Daytime. It's unclear whether or not Jerez Dunter is actually saddened by the story he just told, or merely acting. Applause breaks out from the ground floor peasantry who wolf whistle and cheer. Above, the nobility politely clap, pound their shiny canes, and cheer like they're in the House of Commons. Jerez, all man, all hero, turns, smiles, doffing his head to them all, earning even greater cheers of admiration. Jerez Dunter looks back to the stern judges, and then to the prosecutor who, Jerez is unnerved to see, is looking quite satisfied with himself.
And to clarify for the court, that is exactly how you remember the incident.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, it's rather unfortunate, isn't it, that there is none except yourself who survived the incident at Baywater. You could embellish the incident as much as you like.
I wouldn't.
Surely not, of course. Except, honorable judges, I wish to present a witness for the trial.
Proceed.
Earlier, Mr. Dunter here told us before the Baywater incident he worked alone as a bounty hunter of Accursed. After an investigation into Mr. Dunter's past, it did not take long to discover that this was not the case. Will Han Ashman please enter the court?
This is grave news for Jerez Dunter, his face now grim. The doors to the courtroom open. All look to see an old man, the kind who looks like he could sing a mean folk song about the devil. The kind of old man who looks tough for his age. An old man made even more mysterious by his prosthetic right arm, which looks like it was stolen from Pinocchio. Han Ashman walks at a measured pace to the front of the courtroom.